There are evidence-based programs that have been shown to be effective in reducing child abuse and neglect, like home visiting programs for young mothers and fathers. There's also programs that are take place in hospital or doctor's offices, such as shaken baby prevention programs that have been shown to be effective in reducing the incidence of that form of child abuse. So there are some good evidence-based programs out there, and we try to promote those. I think what the study suggests is that there are kind of the economic context in which children and families live matters for kids. So it would suggest that in the range of approaches that we have in preventing problems like child abuse and neglect, we really should consider those broad macroeconomic issues as well as those programs that work directly with children, directly with families. You need a kind of mix of approaches at different levels.
You did mention that there are some programs in place to limit child abuse. I mean, do you think they're failing given the research that you found suggests that child abuse is pretty high?
Well, I think there's two things. I mean, one is that there has been actually some progress made over the years, and the numbers of child abuse and neglect reports overall in the country, we've seen some reductions over the last, say, 20 years in sexual abuse reports, physical abuse reports. The reports of child neglect seem a little more stubborn. They're a little higher. And the problem is that those programs don't reach nearly the number of families and children that they could or should. So, for example, the sort of evidence-based program of nurse-family partnership, which has been shown to have some impact on reducing the likelihood of maltreatment among young children, that only reaches, 25,000 to 30,000 families in the country a year, and there's 4 million babies being born a year. So that gives you a sense of the scope of the reach of some of these very good programs, but there's just not enough effort in that direction just yet. But
I know your study is pretty comprehensive, all 3,100 or so counties in the country, but as far as here in New York, what did you find?
I mean, New York has a mix of it's not the highest income inequality state as a state, but it does have counties within New York that are fairly high on income inequality, and some that are lower. There's quite a bit of variability in New York State as there is in a lot of states. So I would expect if we repeated the analysis, we would find those relationships within New York State as well. It's a pretty big state. And we think that the environment within a state in terms of providing those safety net programs do make a difference in helping buffer the impact of something like inequality. And also New York has adopted certain social programs that might, again, buffer the effects of inequality, such as, a higher minimum wage or certain tax policies and so forth. Issues around child care, early education. There's a variety of things that New York is actually a leader on in the country, and you would anticipate would help mitigate some of the impact of inequality. But the bottom line is to reduce levels of inequality in totality, and that would be the best policy.